I was considering this thought the other day. Is this, have you ever thought about the power of these two words? What if? Yeah, have you ever really thought about it? Like really given a consideration, like the power of what if? How many things that improve our life, that maybe have some control over our life, honestly, started with someone somewhere going, what if? What if? What if? I mean, think about it for a moment. Like someone one day was like, what if I didn't have to go outside to get water? How many of you thankful somebody, come on somebody, yeah, this is called running water, it's plumbing, it's in your house, everybody. It wasn't always like that, if you didn't know that, let me catch you up if you slept through history. Like someone one day, how many of you are grateful? I mean, thank God for the person, whoever that was, that went, what if we ran this in the house? Come on somebody, right? One day, you know, the Wright brothers said, what if? And for someone who hates driving, I'm grateful to God for those guys that said, what if we could fly through the air? Come on, somebody. Some of you are afraid of flying. You should get over it. It's wonderful. It's one of the gifts from heaven, I believe. One day in some garage in California, some guy named Steve Jobs said, what if every person had a computer on their desk and in their home? And then somewhere along the way, he said, what if we could take our phones with us? Come on, somebody. You didn't have to have them on a cord and walk into the other room and shut the door to have a private conversation, right? How many of you remember those days? Then you clothesline everybody who didn't see the cord, showing my age. But what if, right? What if? And because of some what ifs, which were thoughts, history changed. I want you to understand this for a moment. I'm trying to show you there's power in a thought. Like there's unbelievable power in a thought. I don't think you think enough about how much power there is in a thought. Like it's a thought that created a phone that you carry, and now a lot of your life is carried in that. It was a thought that improved the way that we live. It's a thought that somebody would bring the outhouse inside. Praise God for that. It was a thought that got somebody to figure out how we didn't have to ride on horseback to get everywhere, but we could get into a car, and it was someone else that thought we could get into the air. And it just began with a thought. So much good came because of a thought. So much evil comes from a thought. It was a thought that created the Holocaust. It was a thought that created slavery. It was a thought that created war. It was a thought, are you following me, that creates hate. It began with a thought. It was just a thought that began. There was so much power in our thinking. This is why Ecclesiastes says wise living leads to right living, because living is a result of your thinking. Wise living, but ignorant or unwise thinking leads to wrong living. You don't wake up one day and just go, wow, I can't believe I found myself here. No, it began with some what ifs. It began with some thoughts. Why? Because everything begins with a thought. Everything in life begins with a thought. Every sin begins with a, come on somebody, are y'all with me? Come on. Every good thing begins with a thought. Every I'm going to give you a piece of my mind begins with a, come on somebody. Every argument in your home begins with a, everything. Every good thing you do, every disciplined action in your life begins with a, it all begins with a thought. There's so much power up here in between your ears. And a lot of us just let it run wild. And then we wonder why we're at the decision points we are, or we wonder why we make the decisions that we make. It's because we haven't got a hold of our thinking. Romans 12:2, one of my favorite verses in Scripture, says this: don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. We could stop right there. You could go home and God's given you enough. But watch this. But let God, in other words, you can resist God, but let God transform you into a new person by what? By changing the way that you, by changing the way you think. This is why for some of you, you have accepted Christ and you've come to him and you're like, man, this is the moment I realized my sins were forgiven. This is amazing. But there doesn't seem to be a lot of other change in your life. You're like, when does this like journey of faith begin to? Well, it's because you haven't taken the time to allow God to transform your thinking. And the way he transforms your thinking is through his word. Which means that I've got to begin to go, all right, I'm going to dump out old ways of thinking. I'm going to allow the word of God to begin to inform new ways of thinking. And as I recreate my thoughts, then I begin to create new behaviors. Come on, are you with me? This is why Christianity isn't white knuckling it. I'm just going to try harder. I'm going to be a better person. I'm not going to lash out in anger anymore. No. You will be frustrated and you'll give up. It is impossible to live the Christian life just white knuckling it. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to do better. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. No, that is not Christianity. Christianity is I'm going to be transformed from the inside out by the renewing of my mind. And as I renew my thinking, I renew my living. I don't renew my mind just by going, don't be angry. Don't be angry. Don't be angry. No, I allow the word of God, which is alive and active and powerful, to saturate my thinking so I don't even think that way anymore. I get so far down this journey of faith, I don't even recognize that guy anymore. I don't even recognize that girl anymore because I've so transformed the way that I think, which has in turn transformed the way that I behave. Because you behave by default. Because so many of our thoughts are so in our subconscious, we don't even know it. We just behave by default. And your thinking determines. It's in your thinking. It's in the way that you process things. It's in the way that you view things. It's just, in philosophy, they call it your worldview. And if you have a view of the world, don't be conformed. That's what Paul was saying. The patterns and the customs of this world. What he's talking about is the worldview, the way the world thinks about doing life. And he says, no, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can think about how to do life the way God thinks about how to do life. And he has revealed that to us in his word. That's why I started last week. If you will make the disciplined decision over a long period of time to put God first in your life, it'll be the best year you've ever had spiritually. Why? Because the word of God, 15 minutes every morning, will begin to transform you. And by the end of the year, you'll be, I don't even think that way that guy used to think. I don't even think anxiety anymore. I don't even think that thoughts anymore. I don't even think fear anymore. Are you following me? Your thoughts are so powerful because your thinking drives your living, but what you think also determines how you feel. A lot of your feeling is driven by the way that you're thinking. I want to show you this in the Word of God. The Bible says this, put the scripture up on the screen for me. It says this in Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true and whatever is noble and whatever is right and whatever is pure and whatever is lovely and whatever is admirable, it's going to tell us what to do. What do we do with that? Here we go. It says, if anything is excellent, praiseworthy, think, somebody shout it with me, what? Think about such things. And then watch this, and the God of peace will be with you. Do you see what the verse is saying? That as I set my thoughts on this thing, then I get this feeling, and the God of peace will be with you. Then God's peace begins to flood into my life. So as I set my mind on what's trustworthy, what's admirable, what's excellent, what's lovely, then what happens? God shows up, and God, Jehovah Shalom, we learned this week, the peace of God begins to fill me in my heart and mind. Are y'all tracking with me? Because I've set my thoughts. Your thoughts are powerful, powerful things. Not only that, but our thoughts determine our... I'm just building a case. I'm going to give you some very practical things, all right? In a moment. I just want you to see the power of your thoughts. Your thoughts will determine your destiny. Your thoughts will determine your destiny. They help dictate the direction of your life because your thinking drives your behaving and your behaving ends up in your destiny. Are you following me? Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 6 says this. It says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. In other words, they're heading down the path that pleases the Spirit of God. Their thinking is on sinful things, then they head down that path. But if their thinking is on the Spirit, then they head down that path. It goes on to say, if your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. How many of you want some life and you want some peace? Well, Paul tells us this is how you get life and peace. It's what you set your mind on. Now, here's what I want you to know is you don't control your thinking. You're like, well, Pastor, you just told me my thinking, like you just depressed me. Like my thinking controls my living and my thinking controls how I feel and my thinking controls my destiny. And now you're telling me I can't control my thinking. You can't do that, but you can capture it. I can't always control the thoughts that pop up in my mind. Have you ever been sitting and you're like, where did that come from? Come on, am I the only sinner in the room? Like, dear God, where did that come from? What was that? You know? But you know what you can do is capture them. And some of us, we just think everything we think. We just let everything we think come through the filter of our mind. You don't have to think every thought you think. Let me say it again for those in the back. You don't have to think every thought you think. It doesn't have to run wild in your mind. You can capture your thinking. So I'm going to give you four really practical ways of how you capture your thinking, because your thoughts are so powerful. If you're with me, shout amen. Number one is I'm going to examine my thoughts. Remember, predictable outcomes happen because you take you make disciplined decisions over a long period of time, not a short period of time. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, long time. Come on, every campus, look at the other choice and say, long time. It is over a long time. It's not disciplined decision over a day. It's not disciplined decisions over 3 days. Disciplined decisions over a long period of time begin to transform your life. And I'm going to choose to capture my thoughts this year. Number one, I'm going to choose to put God first. That was last week if you missed it, catch it. But I'm going to choose to capture my thoughts. So how do I do that? Number one, I'm going to examine my thoughts. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joint and marrow." Listen to this. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. In other words, when a thought comes over the LED of my mind, y'all seen those scanning things, right? Just swipes across there. I'm not just going to let it get into my spirit. I'm going to capture it and go, I need to judge this against the word of God. And so when that thought comes through that says, Daniel, you're not enough, whoa, what does God say about me? Is that truth or is that a lie? Some of you are so believing lies because you don't examine anything you think. You just think it and think because you're thinking it, it's true. Can I tell you, just because you thought it doesn't mean it's true. Just because it popped in your mind doesn't mean it's real. You've got to examine it. You've got to examine it and judge it against what does God say. Whenever that thought pops in your mind that goes, I'm not enough, you got to go, whoa, whoa, whoa. But Jesus died on the cross for me because he so loved me and saw value in me. So this can't be true. I'm examining this thought. Is it of God? This is why you've got to start your day in the word, because you won't know truth from lie if you haven't allowed the word of God to saturate your heart and your mind. Are y'all tracking? We're building. See how we're building last week upon this week, right? I've got to stop and examine it. No, I'm going to stop and judge it. I'm not just going to let every thought come through my mind. Number two, these are very practical. I'm going to replace the thought. Let's go back to Romans 12:2. I want to read it to you in the NIV. It says this, "Don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Be renewed in the mind. What am I going to replace it with? I'm going to replace it with God's word. So watch this. It's impossible to tell yourself to quit thinking a thought. You have to replace that thought. It's impossible to tell yourself to quit. Like, everybody think about a purple elephant. Purple elephants. Long tusk. Purple elephant, it's just walking along, big purple. You picture it, big purple elephant, it's kind of dirty, got dust on it. All right, stop it. Stop thinking about the purple elephant. Right now, stop it. Just stop it. Doesn't work that way. Pink kangaroo. See a little pink kangaroo with the pouch? Do you see him? Wow, you have to replace the purple elephant with something else. Some of you walk around and you're just like, I wish I could just stop thinking that I'm dumb. I wish I could just stop thinking that I'm unlovely. Just stop thinking that. Stop thinking that. No. I've got to replace that thought. I've got to renew my mind. Scientists have caught up with what Paul was telling us in Romans 12:2, that over your life, you've created neural pathways in your mind, and they are like roads that you automatically go down. So when something negative happens in your life, you immediately go down that path. Can I be transparent and tell you mine? I go to worst case scenario. I go to, it's all falling apart. My life is falling apart. It's all blowing up. Why? Because for some reason I've created a neural pathway that the other shoe is about to fall and I can't live this blessed. And that's the one I have to fight all the time. Are you following me? But I have to retrain my mind. But it is possible and it has been proven that you can retrain your thinking. Why? Because the Bible says you are transformed. It literally rewires your brain. You get transformed by the renewing of your mind with the Word of God. And maybe you think I look like I'm full of faith, but it's because I walk around going, I am blessed in the heavenlies with every spiritual blessing. I'm retraining the way I think, that God has good plans for me. They're to prosper me and not to harm me, to give me a hope. I may be driving down the road under my breath so people don't think I'm crazy going, I am blessed coming in and I am blessed going out. I have the favor of God upon my life. He has blessed me with every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1, in the heavenly places. I've been adopted as his son. I am a child of God. I am filled with the Spirit of God. I am anointed. I am called. I am empowered for everything God has called me to do. That is who I am. I don't go around going, stop thinking that. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the thought of fear comes across, it's like, whoa, I'm gonna examine that. No. I'm replacing that. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? That's why you got to hide his word in your heart. That's why last week was so important. Putting God first in your day, in your week, in your month, in your year. Because when the thoughts come, you won't have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to battle and cut the thought down. And so when you don't have the word in your heart, then you are fighting a battle with no weapon. And the word of God is your weapon. It's what Paul wrote. He said, it's a shield of faith. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God, whenever Paul defined our battle spiritually, the sword is the only offensive weapon. Everything else is to protect you. That's why the word of God is so important in your life. Number three, I'm going to direct my thoughts. I'm going to examine my thoughts. I'm going to replace my thoughts. I'm going to direct my thoughts. Listen to Isaiah 26:3. It says this, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. Watch this. All whose, come on, everybody, every campus, say it out loud. All whose, oh, that wasn't loud. Let's try it again. All whose are fixed on you. So I'm going to replace it and fix my thinking on God. Colossians 3:2. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. I don't know how much plainer you get than that right there, right? Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. So I'm going to direct my thinking. I'm going to direct my thinking towards God. I'm going to direct my thinking towards his character. I'm going to direct my thinking towards what he says about me, not what everybody else says about me. I'm going to direct my thinking. That's why I said I'm going to capture my thoughts. I can't necessarily control what flashes across the billboard of my mind. I can't necessarily control what the thought bubble is that is texting up in my mind all the time. But what I can do is I can capture it and go, no. I'm not directing my thoughts toward fear, and I'm not directing my thoughts towards insecurity, and I'm not directing my thoughts toward defeated, and I'm not directing my thoughts toward negativity, and I'm not directing my thoughts. And some of you, this battle is greater than others because of the environment that you grew up in. But whatever the fight is going to go, no, I'm going to direct them toward the things of God. And some days I'll win and some days I'll learn. Because as long as I'm pursuing Jesus and I learn from it, I'm not losing from it. Some days I'm gonna win and some days I'm gonna learn, but I'm gonna direct my thoughts until it becomes the habit of my life and it becomes the default of my life and it becomes the neural pathway that is now formed. Are you tracking with me? I'm gonna direct my thoughts. I'm gonna direct them towards heaven. I'm gonna direct them towards the things of the word. I'm gonna direct them toward things of God. I'm gonna renew my mind. And as I renew my mind, what's happening? I'm getting transformed. I always have said that I think the worst comment that I would ever receive from someone is to not see them for a period of time and them to say, you haven't changed a bit. That'd be like a dagger in my heart. Well, how do I avoid that? I get transformed by the renewing of my mind. I continue to grow more and more. This is how I grow in Christ likeness. Can I tell you something? This is the Bible word, discipleship. This is it. It's not a program. It's not a class. This is you growing more and more into the likeness of Jesus. And it happens by you transforming your mind by renewing it with the word of God. Because as you change your thinking, you change your living. And as you change your living, it becomes evident to the world around you. Let me give you one last thought. You with me? Say amen. Amen. Number four, I think this is super important. I'm gonna grow my thoughts. I'm gonna grow my thoughts. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says this, let us think of ways. I love this. It's like, let's get a brainstorming session together on what? On ways to motivate one another toward acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people are doing. In other words, some people aren't coming to church. It was happening in Hebrews 2 back in that day. But he says, don't neglect our meeting. That's what he's talking about. Don't neglect our coming together as some people are doing, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return, Jesus' return, is drawing near. Let us think of ways to motivate one another. I'm gonna grow my thoughts. I'm gonna talk about choice number three next week, but I'm just gonna tell you need to get around people that grow your thinking. That grow your thinking in God. You don't need to be, the circle that influences you the most shouldn't be the ones that's pulling your thinking down. That the moment you're like, no, I'm trying to think on a higher level. I'm trying to think in a bigger way. I'm talking about not just spiritually, I'm talking about in your life in general. People, you got big vision and dreams. God began to burst something on the inside of you. You need to get people around you that are going, no, I'm believing that for you too. I'm believing God to do something. Let us motivate on toward love and towards good deeds. I'm not talking about motivating you towards deeper selfishness. Come on, somebody. But I'm talking about if God's birthing something in you and God's working something on the inside of you, that you would grow your thinking, that you would go, I want some people around me that grow my thinking to go, maybe God could do that. Maybe God would do that. People that would get around me and that would build my faith, and something on the inside of me would begin to stir. Something on the inside of me would make me love Jesus more and cause me to dream bigger and want more in my life. You got to put people around you that grow your thoughts, because your thinking drives your living. And your thinking determines your destiny, and your thinking infects how you feel. And so you want people around you that are going, no, let's direct our thoughts to heaven. Let's examine those thoughts. Let's replace those thoughts. Let's grow our thinking to become everything that God wants us to be. Your thoughts are powerful. A what if put a plane in the sky? What if put a phone in your hand that can operate your banking, your calling, your scheduling, all because somebody thought a thought? If that's true in things that don't really matter for eternity, how much more is it true for things that matter for your eternity? Your thinking is powerful. And you don't have to think every thought that you think. But you can capture that thought, examine that thought, replace that thought, direct that thought and ultimately grow your thinking so that you can grow into everything that God wants you to be. If you'll capture your thinking this year, you'll have a predictable future. Here's what I predict. No, here's what I know. You capture your thinking, you will be transformed according to Romans 12:2, more and more into the image of Jesus. And you'll get to the end of the year and barely recognize the you that started in January. If you are willing to make a disciplined decision over a long period of time. Come on, do you receive the word today? Let's pray together, every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, Father, thank you today that you have given us the power of the Holy Spirit and the tremendous power of the Word of God to transform the way that we think so we can transform the way we live. It's not behavior modification, it's inward transformation. And we're grateful for it. Maybe you're here today and you've never taken the first step of inward transformation. And that step is to surrender your life to Jesus. It begins at the point of placing your faith in Him. And then it continues in this wonderful journey of Him transforming you from the inside out. So if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, at any of our locations or even online, and you'd say, I've never taken that step of faith. I've never had that fresh start or a new beginning. Maybe you're here today and culturally you would say, yeah, I'm a Christian. But if I were to ask you if you're confident and assured of where you'll spend eternity, you wouldn't have a good answer for me. And in just a moment, I want to lead you in a prayer and help give you that confidence. The Bible says that we've all sinned and we come up short of the standard of God. And that's not meant to condemn you. It's just the reality of humanity. And because of that sin, we're forever separated from God. God never wanted that. And so He devised a plan to send His only Son, Jesus, into the earth, fully God, but fully man, to live and experience every temptation you and I ever experienced, yet to do it without sin, to live perfect in every way. And because of His perfect life, He was able to sacrifice His life as a payment for sin, because sin has to be paid for. And really, when you place your faith in Him, what you're saying is, I'll accept your payment for sin so I one day don't have to pay for my own sin. And He gives you a brand new beginning. The Bible says, if anyone's in Christ, they're a brand new creation. All things pass away. Everything becomes new. And so if today you need a new start, and in just a moment, we're going to pray together a prayer, just me helping you express your desire to place your faith in Jesus today. But before we do that, I'm gonna count to three. And when I do, I just ask you to slip up your hand. No one's gonna come to you. Wouldn't embarrass you for the world. Just wanna know who we're praying with. But if you say, Pastor, that's me. I need that fresh start today. I wanna know that my sins are forgiven. If that's you, on the count of three, you just shoot your hand high enough, long enough for myself or your campus pastor at your location to see. And then we're gonna pray together on three. One, two, three. You just shoot it up high enough, long enough. God bless you. God bless you. Incredible. Incredible. You can put it down. Church, let's pray out loud together as we do. For the benefit of those who just slipped their hand up, just say, Jesus, I need you. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I believe you died for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. Today I make you my Lord and Savior. Thank you for a brand new beginning. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen, amen. Come on, let's celebrate those who made that decision. So powerful.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Feel free to rate, review, and share with a friend. If you'd like to find out how you can get involved or partner with us financially, visit lifepoint.org or download the LifePoint app. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart. See you soon.